20 yards out! That is a jewel from Jewel!
Tim Cahill has done it again! What a goal by Tim Cahill!
Thompson!
Oh, five goals to Archie!
Swing out, Paducah's header from North Melbourne are the league champions!
Dark Lords over there!
Goal!
Let's
go!
On 1116 SEN, the Four Diegos.
G'day everyone and welcome to the Four Diegos on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport. Good evening, Rodrigo Rodriguez with you on this coolish Wednesday night. Nice to have the cool weather. Vinny Venezuela's back in the house.
Good evening, Rodrigo. Hello, listeners.
And the weatherman, Warren Diego, is here looking tuned in. And,
yeah, yeah, no.
Ready to go.
Yeah, no, it's my last show, Rodrigo.
Forever?
That's forever. I'm signing off. And just quickly, self-indulgent, it's my beautiful wife's 50th birthday today.
Yes.
So to Suze out there, you're a champ. So happy
Fantastic.
Birthday.
Happy birthday, Mrs. Diego.
Yes.
And Carlos, welcome to you.
How are you there, Rodrigo? Yes, I was so happy when he said it's his last show, but it's only for a couple of weeks.
It's only for a couple of weeks. Yeah. Jeez, melodramatic.
And Susie Diego,
yes.
Warren doesn't deserve that fine woman.
He doesn't. Not at all.
No,
not at all.
It's a great name, Susie Diego, isn't it?
It goes okay.
Hey, we've got a big show for you tonight. We're catching up with Adam Taggart from Perth Glory very, very shortly, and I'll catch up with Mike McGrath a little bit later on. Your text messages on 0433 98 11 16, and of course tonight's show is brought to you by our wonderful sponsors Tax Talk, Best on Plumbing, and the Northern Football Academy at St Monica's College in Epping.
Rodrigo, what about Brendan's ACL? Is any of the show brought to us by that?
Well, I think Tax Talk.
Because I'm still worried. It's not over just because we've given the T-shirts away, mate.
We're in discussions with Tax Talk and Best on Plumbing.
Does your tax position change when you go onto the injured list in terms of the way you're paid and the amount of money that you're being paid?
Well, in the old NSL, you got zero income. They didn't look after you. And in fact, it was a bit of IOU in those days there. So it probably affected your tax status then. But these days, I think it's professional enough.
Very
and the
good.
PFA makes sure, Warren, the union.
Yep.
I know you're a union man.
Yeah, I am a union man.
The union man.
You were once a union man.
Look, yeah, I self-police my own union these days. But you know, you're a union man through and through.
I am.
And you'd love what the PFA does for the players these days.
Yep.
Any injuries, get looked after,
very
the boys.
Good. Absolutely. Can you imagine him, Brendan, being in a meeting with his union official saying, "What do you mean you just accepted the T-shirts? They just gave you T-shirts."
Hey, by the way, and thanks to Kevin Hillier. Good to see Kevin. Was just on before the Diego. He gave us a bit of a warm embrace when he saw us tonight, didn't he?
Yeah, he was so kind with his words about the Diegos.
Great to see him.
Who knew he could speak French?
Absolutely. Hey, as I said, 0433 98 11 16.
Hi, Marie, too, by the way.
Yes, g'day, Marie. Yeah. Nice to talk to you again. Hey, boys, let's kick it off now because, Warren, you mentioned that this is your last show. That's
it is my last show.
Melodramatic.
No, because it was.
You are going on a trip of a lifetime.
Yeah, without the Diegos.
Yep.
On your own.
You know the reason why I'm going?
Why?
You've got a hall pass. No, the reason I'm going is because of the government changes to the 18C, the discrimination.
Oh, right.
Because they're changed. Carlos has been insulting, offending, and humiliating me for quite some time.
And I've harassed you too.
So no matter what happens with that legislation, I'm not going to feel any better. No, seriously. I've talked a lot about Liverpool.
Yeah.
Well, I've talked a little bit about Liverpool.
Except in that period of time where you went
to Bolton.
Yeah, I went to Bolton. Although, actually, in planning this trip, I actually tried to squeeze a Bolton game in. Couldn't quite manage it. So
it's like going to see the other woman.
We're going to Stoke instead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, it is a trip of a lifetime. I'm going away with a good friend of the Diegos next week for a couple of weeks in England, watching Liverpool play the Merseyside derby, then Bournemouth midweek and Stoke on the following Saturday, which is three of the final five games of the season. It'll be pretty season-defining for Liverpool. If they happen to win those games, they'll probably play Champions League. And a few other things chucked in. Grand National, golf at Royal Hoylake in Liverpool. What else? A tour of Liverpool, a few other things. So
fantastic.
It is a trip of a lifetime. And I'm prepared to come on. Wednesday, because I'll be flying, but the following Wednesday, I think we'll be on the golf course somewhere.
Yep.
So I'm prepared to come on and have a bit of a chat, and that'll be after the Merseyside derby. So looking forward to it.
Fantastic. Yep. And you're going to catch up with our good friend Martin.
Yeah, hopefully. I get a sense, though, that Mike could be leaving the country knowing that I'm coming in. But we'll be in...
Martin Tyler, you'll be having dinner with him, won't you? That's what I was going to talk about.
Well, he's been on the phone, yeah. So we're in London for a few days before we come back, so I might try to catch up with those luminaries of the game.
All right, fantastic. Yep. We just thought we'd let you, our listeners, into Warren's excellent adventure there.
If people want me to come back or not... You know, let me know on the SMS or any suggestions. Any suggestions as to what they'd like me to do
while I'm
over there.
I'm kind of hoping that you're going to be the Fox Sports guy that gets paid nothing to do stuff.
I'm the new Daniel Gavick and Daniel Gabb. Yeah. Look at the way those guys kicked on, though. If I do something for nothing for
if you live on the poverty line there long enough, you know, you might get a job on Fox Sports or something.
Yeah, but I've always wanted to ask Daniel if he wore the same suit every day or every time he got on camera.
Because that was the only suit he had.
I don't know, but he's doing very well for himself now. Hey, Scott in Craigieburn has given us a call. G'day, Scott, and welcome to the show.
Evening, amigos and Warren, how are you?
Yeah. Oh, Scotty, so you're ringing up to wish me all the best, yes?
As a Liverpool supporter, of course I am.
Oh, no, you are, yes.
See, there's something in common after
all. And, you
know,
that's the divide. You know, we may be divided by the City and Victory divide, but Liverpool, the mighty Reds, bring us together.
Actually, Scotty, if Warren declares tonight, or announces tonight, that he's running a tour on his trip, would you jump on his tour? Let's open up the tour, the Warren tour.
Warren's excellent adventure.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be a good adventure. Yep. Yeah, absolutely.
If I could afford to, I'd definitely go, mate. So on my bucket list to go there. It's a bit hard at the moment with a two-year-old son.
Yeah, no, it is. I've got older children.
Warren just leaves his kids here.
I've actually sold my children to actually get on this trip. So.
No, he leaves them at the airport. They'll be there for a couple of weeks. There's food.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
So, Warren, Scott, is there anything else you want to say?
Yeah, it'd be great if you could bring me back, an autograph from the Klopp, and just whatever you do, Warren, don't go near the Shankly Gates, mate, because if he finds out you follow City, he could be in a bit of trouble. I'd just like to thank you guys for the tickets for next week, and I'll see you for the lunch.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, good on you, Scotty.
No, looking forward to that.
Yeah, got the day off work, so now I've just got to organise my business attire to go there, mate.
Well, you know it's black tie.
Don't do that.
No,
do
it's actually fancy dress.
Yeah. No, Scotty, thanks for the best wishes, and I hope you have a really good time at the lunch next week. I'm disappointed I can't be there with you, but I will take a photo outside of the Shankly Gates, and I'm actually only 10 seats away from 10 rows back from Jurgen Klopp, so... If I actually...
You'll be photobobbing.
If the moment overcomes me, I may charge down to the fence. So, looking forward to it.
Good on you, Scott. Yep.
It would be good if you can hold up a sign, cheerio.
I'll look to do that. Yep.
Yeah, and
yep.
I'm thinking of getting me a haircut for the business lunch, maybe a Brandon haircut, maybe have a party in the front, business party in the front, business in the back.
I think you can get those wigs at those cheap sort of party places, so yeah, get one of those for sure.
No, look
Enjoy
forward.
Your trip anyway, mate.
No worries.
Thanks, Scotty.
Thanks for that. Look forward to seeing you at Community and Business next Friday.
That's nice of Scott, because... We've been a bit antsy from time to time,
It's all in good fun. Hey guys, the Socceroos tomorrow night at a really good time. I've got to say, 11 o'clock our time is kickoff, so I can't wait. This is, of course, the World Cup qualifier against Iraq in Tehran, which is in Iran. So, hey, just been watching a bit on the internet, of course, and on Twitter, and the boys are excited, and they're going to play on a bit of a cow paddock, but I'm looking forward to this. Warren, are you nervous?
Well, the cow paddock is good preparation for the game the following week at the Sydney Football Stadium, so they're well prepared. Look, I asked the question before, and Carlos counselled me, as he always does, and said, ask it on air. So I will. I'll ask the luminary of tactics and, the minutiae of the game that Carlos is. They can't lose, can they, Carlos? There's only one result.
No, yeah, they'll win.
Do you get a sense that they're galvanised? Is it talk, or do you think they've come into camp with a renewed sense of purpose and a galvanised sort of mentality? They're going to take these last five games by storm.
Well, I mean, Ange wanted to shake things up, and he has. And no one feels like they're, everyone's on the edge of their seats wondering whether they're going to be in the team or not, this and that. I mean, none of these guys know whether they're playing. Of course, some of the some of the established players probably know they're going to be playing, but there's extra pressure on those guys. Look, they're going to win. No question they're going to win. But I'm totally, I can say that, but I get anxious about Socceroos all the time. And you know, what's saving them, I think, and why I'm absolutely certain we're going to win tomorrow night is it's not like it's going to be a Thailand game where the king just died and the players are playing for the king's family and there's 100,000 Thais, not only in the stadium, but all through the country just wanting Australian blood and at the same time cheering their guys on.
Well, there'd be about two people in the
stadium.
Unlike
the Iraqis who are trying to rebuild a nation.
No, but they're playing in Tehran, Iran.
So you're saying the crowd.
Yeah, the crowd. That's what I'm saying.
There won't be a crowd, will there?
It's a capacity of 8,000 people. And I don't think 8,000 Iraqis are going to come over from Iraq.
No, you wouldn't probably go to Iran for the away game.
So the games where we've struggled.
So it'd be like a city game.
Yeah, that's right. The games where we've struggled, In the cauldrons, those really loud and frantic sort of cauldrons, have been the game where we lost against Jordan, if you remember that. And when these teams get their tails up in front of their home crowds, they're unbelievable. And Thailand, we drew that game, and in the end, probably a bit lucky to draw it. So, but that's not going to happen tomorrow night in Tehran. So the atmosphere won't be there, the baying for blood won't be there, and it's just a matter of us just keeping our heads and just overrunning a team that's clearly inferior to us.
Carlos, do you think Ange has brought in Riley McGree just to get the boys thinking, let's do it for the kid? let's galvanise around the kid.
Yeah, I don't know.
The new blood.
I can be pretty certain that he didn't do that, Vinny.
Yeah, I can.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm not even going to speculate on that one. Riley's there because Ange really believes he can add something. I don't know how a kid who's only played 13 games can add something to an established squad in the World Cup qualifier like that. It's a huge risk to bring someone like that in if you don't plan at all to play him because you're taking up a spot in a 23-man squad. So, look, Ange has got his reason, and it's probably going to do wonders for this kid's development. I was watching a little bit of video of their training, and they were playing this sort of small-sided game, and this Riley McGree was asking for the ball. He was demanding the ball from teammates. So I think that what that does to the kid's development is, even if he doesn't play, and he probably won't play, he'll go back to Adelaide thinking, it's amazing, the penny drops and you suddenly grow in your stature and your confidence. And
if he does play, he'll leave one lung out there because it's an opportunity.
Yeah, but there's other guys who'll play before him, Vinny.
I just can't wait for this. It's Fox Sports have got this game, Iraq versus the Socceroos in Tehran at 11 p.m. That's kickoff. I think the telecast probably starts a little bit earlier, but just 10:30. Can't wait for that. And then 5 days later, we take on the United Arab Emirates at the Sydney Football Stadium. That's on the 28th of March. Can't wait for that. Love the Socceroos playing, and this is for real stuff. It's a World Cup qualifier. Hey, let's take a break now and come back with Adam Taggart from Perth Glory right here on the 4 Diegos on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.
On 1116 SEN, the 4 Diegos.
Thanks for joining us on this Wednesday night here on the 4 Diegos. Hey, we're talking about Warren, of course, and his excellent adventure off to the UK. So, you're getting a lot of love, Warren.
Thank you for a change.
A lot of people saying, happy to see you go.
Is that love? Is that how you're interpreting it?
Peter from Cheltenham wants to know if you're going to be at the Cop End.
Yep.
Are you?
No, actually, I'm in the main stand for both games.
Oh, prawn sandwiches for you.
I'm with the well-heeled.
Yep.
Hey, as I said earlier, we are catching up with one of the stars of the A-League. We're crossing all the way to Perth, and Adam Taggart is waiting on the line. G'day, Adam, and welcome to the 4 Diegos.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, our pleasure, mate. Nice to have you along. Hey, you've had a break in the split round. You had a bad loss to Melbourne Victory just before that, but you've rested up now, and you've got a big, big game this weekend against Sydney FC. How are you feeling for that game?
Yeah, no, really good. I think sometimes these little rests do the world of good. So it was good to have the weekend off and sort of just regroup and sort of reassess, where we're at and exactly what we can achieve going into the last four games. So we've all been back in training, really refreshed and revitalised. So it's a massive game for us this weekend, and we all can't wait.
Adam, Warren Diego here. I'm interested in your coach, Kenny Lowe. I'm wondering if he goes ballistic at small-sided games that you have at training. Is he as interesting? And I mean this genuinely because I think, you know, we understand that managers have to be half mad to actually take on the job. And I've always, bar for maybe him overstepping the mark from time to time on the sidelines and copping punishment, he gives me the impression that he'd be a fun guy to be coached by, and it would be fun turning up to training, half not knowing what he expects, and he'd have really good fun with the players. Am I right in what I say about him as a coach day to day?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think sometimes on the sideline it doesn't completely show exactly what it's like. You know, going into training each day, he's a really happy and nice guy, very approachable, and he's one of those managers that likes to have a very close relationship with all of his players, whether, you know, there's a lot of managers these days who are the complete opposite. So he definitely doesn't go as psycho on the sidelines, apart from when he joins in the small-sided game.
Oh, okay.
Today. But, no, yeah, he's a really enjoyable coach to play for, and he's someone that, you know, wants to understand the players and really understand exactly how the playing group's feeling and sort of act upon that, which is, you know, for all of us really good, because it's, you know, it's difficult these days to have a manager who's really understanding. So, you know, I think some of the times he's been punished on the sideline doesn't completely represent who he is day to day. So he's a really good manager to have.
So Adam Vinnie here. So when he does play the small side of games with you, is he a hog? Does he do step overs? What sort? Is he flamboyant? Is he conservative? Has he got a heavy touch?
No, I think he still thinks he's 26. He's like, he plays centre back and starts trying to cry for the players and make everyone. And to be fair, he's probably got one of the best touches in the team, which is...
Oh, no.
Say that. Peter Philopoulos listens, mate.
Now, Adam, it's Carlos. We were lucky enough to see you play for Australia in the third game against Spain in the World Cup in Brazil. It wasn't a great result for us, but it was great to see a young goal king like you get your chance in such a big game. And to be absolutely, you know, honest with you, mate, the Diegos love guys who score for fun like you do, and you're a young bloke and sort of you're great for the next generation of soccerers coming through. But you went to Fulham after the World Cup and you had a horrific time there with injury. Can you just give us an indication what your life was as an injured athlete in a professional environment like Fulham? And, you know, of course, you went over to Scotland as a loan player at one stage too. What was life like for you in a place that had high expectations for you, because that's why they recruited you?
Yeah, look, I mean, to be honest, it was a bit of a horrible time for me. It was obviously a fantastic club with a fantastic background. And at the time, it was sort of the perfect move for me, but obviously injury... sort of, you know, changed all of that, because I think once you go overseas, you understand that it's all about making a sort of immediate impact, especially when you go to a club, you know, with expectations. So, I mean, it was just a difficult time, you know, rocking up sort of when you're injured there at the time. I was getting there 8 and not sort of leaving until about 6 o'clock at night, just getting treatment and trying to do everything you can to get fit again. And I just sort of had setback after setback and all of the little things that, you know, never normally go wrong just seemed to sort of go wrong for me at the time. And, you know, as positive as you try to stay, it's a difficult time. So it was just sort of, it's hard to put my finger on it now, but I think just, you know, a mix of unlucky things that have happened with, you know, potentially the wrong timing of me, obviously, moving overseas. So I look back and it's definitely a great experience and I don't regret any of it, but... you know, in hindsight, you know, it would have been lovely if I was able to sort of go over there and hit the ground running. But great experience for me and definitely something that's helped me in for, you know, future decision making and definitely, you know, body and injury wise.
Now, Adam, in that environment, though, in a place like Fulham, and I expect it to be a lot, you know, similar to other, you know, professional clubs at the high level in England and throughout Europe. Do you feel a little bit forgotten when you're sort of in the rehab and everyone else is training, especially when you haven't been able to really show everyone there what you're made of?
Yeah, definitely. Especially, I think it's being in Australia. I've never had a long-term injury when I've been in Australia, but sort of when I've had, you know, those sort of small injuries, it's easier to sort of feel part of the group because it's a different culture here. And I think being an Australian, you're still always... involved in some way or another, but over there it's very easy to get
to sort of get forgotten about. And I think once you're over there, the longer you're out injured, the further down the pecking order you're going, and it sort of becomes a bit more of a lonely place because you're in a foreign country where you don't know anyone and everyone's sort of waiting to see what you do. But the longer you're out, you know, I guess the less focus there is because there's always new players coming in, especially in England. You've got players rocking up on loan or coming in as injury replacements, you know, like every month. So there's always something sort of going on, and I think that's sort of, you know, pretty standard for all big clubs in Europe. So it's definitely, you know, hard to stay focused and positive, I guess, when you're in a foreign country and not able to prove yourself.
Mm. Now, Adam, you were going up in my estimation because I thought you were born in Newcastle and because you played for Newcastle, and I'm a Novocastrian myself by birth, but I understand that you were born in Perth, and that sort of matches with Peter Philopoulos saying that there's been a almost like a decision made in many ways that Perth are trying to recruit the best local players or the players that have come from Perth back to the club. And I'm wondering, do you think that makes a difference in terms of galvanising the team? Because Rhys Williams and there's others that have come from Perth and have gone back there. Do you get that sort of sense of trying to build that sort of culture, us versus them, we're from Western Australia, that sort of stuff?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think growing up and sort of coming through the Perth program, everyone always knew or sort of thought that the club should just recruit all the best Perth players because it seemed year after year all of the best young players were sort of leaving Perth to go over east or overseas and you know, more likely than not succeeding and sort of, you know, proving to the Perth fans and to their club, you know, that they are sort of worth something or worth a, you know, a spot in the team and things like that. So I think it was a long time coming, and obviously when Peter come in, that was something he wanted to instill straight away. So we started getting all the Perth local boys back, and I think it's something that I always thought. So it was something that I agreed with straight away, and I think will definitely be good for the future as well, because you need players who care about the club and want to play for the badge, because it's always going to take time for players to grow a love for a you know, a club when you're coming from over east or overseas or anywhere, you know, sort of similar to my time at Newcastle. You know, by the end I loved the club, but obviously when I first went there, it takes a little bit of time to sort of engage with the fans to understand exactly what it's about. So I definitely think it's been a fantastic move and hopefully something that we can sort of keep on going, because I think that's what's going to help the club succeed.
Adam, Vinny again. Now, I just want to talk about your Socceroo experience, given your setup, given that you were there when Ange took us to the World Cup. Like, we're on the cusp of a qualifier that's making some of the Diegos a little bit nervous. Carlos is confident about the game against Iraq. The rest of us probably a little bit iffy, only because we're third in the table at the moment. I just want to know, based on your experience with the Socceroos, how does the players prepare for it, and how does Ange instill people with the mindset and the confidence sort of to go forth and do the job they need to do?
Oh, look, I've always sort of said it. I think, you know, Ange was the best manager I was able to experience in every way possible. And he always gets the right people as well to sort of make sure you can help prepare for the game and does everything. You know, he's so far ahead in terms of the steps and preparation that it's, you know, he helps you so much. But, you know, at the same time, like I've sort of understood going to those, you know, difficult places, that it's never what you expect, and it's always that little bit harder. And I think, you know, we all need to understand that it's a very difficult task. Although I believe, and I'm sure most of Australia does, that, you know, we're going to be able to get the, you know, the two wins in these rounds. But, it's a very difficult game, but, you know, all faith. If someone's able to do it, then it's going to be the setup they have now, because everyone in every role in the Aussie team is, you know, at the absolute elite level. So for all players, I think they'll prepare them exactly, you know, well, as much as they can. But it's always going to be difficult going to countries like that in those tough conditions.
Now, Adam, you're a born goal scorer from you know what we've seen. You're only 23 years old, but from the age of 17, when you broke into the A League, and you almost started scoring goals straight away, and you're just that natural goal scorer that every coach loves having in their squad. Are you a firm believer that if you can score goals, like you do in Australia, as many as you do and as prolifically as you do, are you a believer that if you go and play in Holland or if you go and play in England or anywhere around the world that eventually you'll still score goals there?
Yeah, look, I mean, I think me as a goal scorer, I'm always going to think that. And obviously every league is going to take time to sort of fit into, but I think goal scoring is goal scoring. If you can score goals in a decent league anywhere, then you can probably score anyway. It's anywhere. It's always going to take time to fit in and understand the league. But I think goal scoring is second to none. Once you know how to find the back of the net, I've always said for me, it's an obsession. I think about it all day long, and I've thought about it every day since I've been born, I think. So, it's an obsession and something I always think about. So I'm sure all the other goal scorers are the exact same and probably believe that, if you can score in one league, score in another.
Know how you feel.
Vinny, Adam again. Adam, Vinny again. I'm conducting research and I'm collating research for a private study at the moment, and it's basically to do with penalties and who should take them. As a striker, do you prefer it when defenders take penalties?
If they're on the other side. Yeah.
So Adam, you don't have faith in defenders taking penalties, because this makes a big. It makes
Dino
a big
Gilbert,
difference.
Surely he's going to be the guy that you're going to look to take penalties.
Look, to be honest, I've seen some defenders take some unbelievable penalties. I don't think it necessarily depends what position you're in. Big Dino would go up there and thump it as hard as he can, so he'd probably score. But I think in our team, it's. Yeah, I'm pretty confident when Diego's taking it.
Yes, you would be.
Now, Adam, self-indulgent question from me. I'm actually heading over to England for a couple of weeks, and I'll be in London for a week after watching a few Liverpool games. Do you reckon I'd get a ticket if I just rock up to Craven Cottage on a Saturday afternoon to watch Fulham? And is it worth it? That's my first question. But my other two things, what's one thing you want? What's one thing I must do while I'm in London, and one place you'd recommend for a beer or a bite to eat that's sort of off Broadway, that I could go to and they wouldn't recognise me?
Yeah, definitely. I think going to one of the Fulham games, it's a beautiful stadium and in one of the nicest areas. It backs on to the Thames there, and they still have all of the vintage seats that they've kept in there. So it's a pretty cool experience, and the fans are great in a fantastic area. You can walk to all the restaurants and bars after that. Definitely got to get down to Jack's in Chelsea, which is sort of maybe 5 minutes from there.
Okay.
Get down for a bite to eat, and then next door there's a nice little bar for you.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah, I will do that.
He'll get lost in the tube. Don't worry. Adam, he won't make it there, mate.
He won't get out of Heathrow, Carlos.
Adam, one last one before we let you go, mate. Now, people talk about the prongs, the prolific prongs of victory in Troisi and Berisha and Ben Kalfalar and Rojas. But for me, Perth, when you guys get it right, there's yourself, there's Castro, there's Keogh and Harold. I mean, you guys, like I said, when you're in form, you're almost irresistible. Do you think you're reaching that point, coming into the finals, that you guys could do some damage, especially with that, the prolific prongs that you guys have there at Perth?
Yeah, look, definitely. I think it definitely took us a while during the year due to a couple of little injuries that sort of hassled us from sort of getting a comfortable sort of front four, I guess, that we're able to gel with each other. But now we've sort of been playing week in, week out for a fair few months now. We're all feeling quietly confident. And, like you said, I think there's a lot of emphasis obviously on Victory's attack, which everyone knows is one of the best in the league. But I think it's, probably works in our advantage that sometimes there's not as much emphasis on us because we go into the games quietly confident. And I think we seem to show most weeks what we can do going forward. It's always been a big talking point of ours to eradicate the mistakes at the back because we always know we're going to score goals. So I think we've sort of found our form in terms of attacking at the right time. So I think going into the finals, I think we could definitely be the dark horse that sort of no one's necessarily expecting to sort of win it and, you know, surprise everyone who's sort of maybe forgotten about us a little bit. So I think we're going in there quietly confident at the moment.
Well, Adam, mate, you've got a big challenge this weekend against Sydney FC at home, of course. Geez, if you can beat them at home, you could really set yourselves up for a big tilt at the finals. And we wish you well for the rest of the season and, of course, this weekend.
Perfect. Thanks very much, guys.
On 1116 SEN, the Four Diegos.
Thanks for your company tonight, this Wednesday night. Just enjoyed a great conversation with Adam Taggart.
I'm barracking for Perth now.
Yeah, look,
a good man. What an impressive young man.
Yeah, yeah.
And Vinny, you said during the break, we've been lucky in the last 10 weeks or so just to do a few of the Aussies abroad, young guys. James Dzeko, Diogo Ferreira, you know, some of these young, Matt Dierman.
Matt Dierman last week.
Yeah, just, you know, really good characters and just guys who are really appreciative that people want to talk to them.
Yeah.
Just really great.
Yeah,
really
Bruce
enjoyed
was
Bruce Gittay is another one. Yeah,
Adrian Layer.
Yeah, really great role models. And that's the other thing. I don't think our game does enough with these guys, really bring them up. Maybe because we don't have the footy
shows. They need
shows.
More exposure, though, don't
well,
they?
You know, we don't have the footy shows and stuff
for
like
exposure.
That. Because I think some of these guys are as impressive as any professional sportsman this country's ever produced, to tell you the truth.
Definitely. Mm. Great ambassadors for the sport.
Yeah.
Hey, just off the text message here on 0433981116, I said Fox Sports have got the World Cup qualifier tomorrow night, but so has Go,
yeah.
Channel Go, which is
Channel 9, one of the minor channels. And by the way, they've got all the World Cup qualifiers
for the rest of the campaign.
Here
we go. I feel for the Socceroos players. They might be declined entry to the USA in the future for travelling to Tehran. A la Dwight York.
Yes.
Dwight York was actually...
refused entry?
Was he completely refused entry? Or just had a bit of an issue with him?
Yeah.
Hi, former Disco Diegos. Yes, of course, because we don't do our Saturday nights starting this week. But Warren, best of luck on your trip to the Merseyside. You're a good man. Liverpool FC and Melbourne City FC local. All makes sense. All the best. Maybe you should take Carlos Muscat for some education and baptise him. Have his victory tattoo removed. That's Tom in Greenvale.
Where's Millwall, Carlos, where you used to play?
The Den?
Yeah, the Den. Where is that? Is that in London?
It's in London, yeah.
Okay,
absolutely.
Well, I might go and watch where you played.
But be careful because they're usually fighting West Ham fans.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere in some park around the place.
Okay.
Which you get down to Wimbledon, old ground. Cold Blow Lane.
Yeah, okay.
Get down there.
No worries.
Right? And just make sure you go there in the dark because there's a big chance that someone
might
will
never
go
come
you.
Back.
Yeah. So.
yes.
Hey, Joe in Dingley, a major academy announcement by Melbourne Victory today. They're talking about a 5-year strategic partnership with Victoria University. So there you go. Is that to set up an academy?
Well, remember we did in our Football Bosses series.
Yes. We did. It was mentioned.
Yes, Ian Robson. We talked about it. And there was... So my wife is fighting it because we're locals. Footscray locals.
Right.
And she walks the dog down there at
She'd have to take a bag now with her, wouldn't she?
No, she always takes a bag. Okay. And all of that. But they're looking... What's been published in the local papers there is this idea that Melbourne Victory will build their academy, equivalent to what Melbourne City has done at La Trobe, their academy down at Footscray
Park.
Down
near Merv Hughes Oval.
Absolutely, down there. And but that's dog walking piece of land.
Heaven
down
there.
Yes, it is. And there's a lot of upset protesters.
Dog walkers.
They're almost like the Albert Park Grand Prix
or
protesters.
there's
not many of them, but they're going to stick with it, right?
Or no prison in the city of Wyndham type
protest. My wife is protesting it, but look, I'd like to see that space used for something that's really, really exciting. And I think a Melbourne Victory, you know, some sort of academy down there right next to VUT, which is renowned internationally for its sports programs and stuff.
Well,
it makes a lot of
Western
sense.
The Western Bulldogs lauded VUT for the sports science. Is there a difference between a partnership and a strategic partnership, Rodrigo? You're the one with business acumen and you know all about channel marketing and a number of other things. So I thought strategic partnership.
Like, you know
is there
that,
a difference there?
Warren,
is there?
You know how when you went to the formal, the girl just agreed to go with you because she wanted to go to the
that's
formal?
That's a partnership.
That's a strategic partnership. That's right. She doesn't that's really right. care.
So, Rodrigo, would you enlighten me, please?
Oh, no, it's clear.
You enlighten me on the Brazil trip with regards to channel marketing.
You're just deflecting at the moment because when City built theirs, you thought, well, no one's going to match City. But I said at the time, how is Melbourne Victory going to
respond?
And it's taken them a while. But they are responding. They are responding. And they'll respond in a big way because suddenly that's central. You don't have to go out to Latrobe. I mean, with all due respect to our friends
at Latrobe.
You
don't go that far on the holidays,
exactly.
Really.
Exactly. It's a bit of a way out. And I know some journos don't like going out that far. But Footscray's right in the middle of the city almost. You know, it's only 5 minutes out of the city. You build something spectacular there, suddenly. I think City, I'll be waiting for them to respond, Warren.
Okay.
Yes, so, but the walk into the stadium, Carlos, with the angry dog walk.
That's true.
That could be it.
You've got to negotiate my wife and her dog walking.
Could get ugly.
That's for sure.
When Robbo gets involved, it's a strategic partnership. Oh, okay, no. When one of the underlings gets involved, it's just a partnership.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Anyway. No worries. Very good.
And a strategic partnership means that VUT are putting all their money into
it, and Victory are putting no money in.
That was a clearer explanation than your explanation about channel marketing. Whatever it's called.
Hey, what else are we going to do? What about Aramoy and his entry into the championship team of the season, the EFL team of the season? What a fantastic accolade for
Aramoy. Where's he go, Carlos? Well, where's he go? What's
I said on
happening?
Francis Leach's show today, would you agree that anyone who gets picked in the team of the year for the championship basically can play in probably three quarters of the English Premier League teams?
If you're playing every week.
If you can actually get picked in the team of the year in the championship, you're good enough to play EPL.
Correct.
So we know for sure now that Aaron Moy has the stamina, he has the talent, he has the what it takes in English football to play in the EPL, which means if he joins the right club next year, and I don't think it'll be Man City, I think Man City have said how fantastic he is just to get his price up, for a transfer, to tell you the truth, to get that value up, and especially when Pep Guardiola says he's amazing, they're the terms he used.
He said this week's game against Liverpool was the most joyous experience he'd ever had in football.
Yeah, but I'm talking about Aaron Moy.
He overstates it.
For him to say that, I think that's more about probably upping his transfer value. Now, if he picks the right club next year in the EPL, if that's where he's going to stay in England, he'll play regularly.
But Carlos,
and he plays regularly, suddenly he's way down the track for being our one-man golden generation that we need to develop to catch up with the guys in 2005.
If you're Aaron Moy right now, do you get a T-shirt printed that says, Pep says I'm amazing? Because I would.
Yeah, well.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm interested in this, and you're good about these decisions, Carlos. Huddersfield are likely to make the playoffs or around the playoffs, which means they're a 1 in 3 chance of being promoted themselves. Even if they got promoted, would you be tempted to make a move to say, I'll use West Ham as an example, okay? Or would you be more tempted to stay with Huddersfield, get promoted with them, probably knowing that you're going to at least start the season and get games? Or are you tempted to not be caught in that promotion relegation sort of, seesaw and go to a solid team that's going to be mid-table where you might have to fight for your spot, but you establish yourself, you're not likely to be going down as soon as you're coming up?
Look, you're loyal while you're under contract with a club. Once that contract's over, and he's a one-year loan from Man City, once that contract's over, there's no loyalty. There's no sentiment when it comes to this. You go to, you consider every club, and if a West Ham, for example, chances are West Ham aren't going to get relegated these days. They'll stay in the middle of the table. They might have a decent year. They might just be hovering above the relegation zone, but they're not going to get relegated these days. You go to a West Ham, and if you're getting regular game time in a club like West Ham, that's going to develop you. If you're struggling week in, week out with a Huddersfield, if they get promoted, they won't have the money to have a team that's going to stay up or create any damage in the EPL. So it's going to be a battle. It's going to be hard to play in that midfield. He's playing really well because they're an attacking team in the championship. They're a good team that's winning games, even though I think on the weekend they didn't go so well. But generally, they're a team that's had a good year, and it's much better to play as a midfielder in that circumstances rather than a team that's parking the bus every time and you're under the pressure all the time.
Carlos, you think a team like Leicester could use someone like Moy Boy just because someone in the middle, they are an attacking team. I can see, and they'll probably not be relegated and have enough money.
Vinny, any team other than Chelsea, Man City, Man
Tottenham,
U,
Liverpool.
Tottenham, Liverpool, any of those teams. Look, Everton might be a stretch, but anyone below that, I think he would revel in that situation, but not the teams that are looking to be relegated, because that's going to be difficult for any midfielder to play in that sort of a team.
Hey, let's take a break now and come back with more of the Diegos on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sport.
On 1116 SEN, the four Diegos.
Just a little bit more to go on Warren's last show for a little while.
Last show.
Marie wants to know, Warren, if you're going to the Everton versus Liverpool game.
I am.
That is the Merseyside derby.
Merseyside derby, yep.
And now looking forward to that.
And should be a big game.
And we'll get you, of course, you know, from the UK a
if I consent to answer the call, yeah, you'll get me.
Will you be name dropping? Because over the years, we've interviewed a number of Liverpool players.
What Craig person Johnson. Could I name drop?
Craig Johnston.
Oh, good, yeah.
We've interviewed him heaps of times.
Well, he's an Overcastrian too, like myself.
Yeah, even Ian Rush. We've interviewed Ian Rush. Yeah, Peter Beardsley.
Yeah.
Steve McMahon.
Yes.
Who else? Over the years, we've interviewed
Sam Allardyce.
Well, he's not Liverpool.
Yeah, but
Harry Kuehl, we've interviewed Harry Kuehl.
Have we? Yeah.
Oh, over the years.
Mark Bosnich, I know.
But he's not Liverpool.
But he's known, I suppose.
Are you with us right now or not?
I'm mentally out of here.
Yeah. Mark Viduka scored four against Liverpool.
Viduka scored four against Liverpool in probably the greatest game ever played by a set of Australians.
So, Warren, should I give you a recorder?
No, don't.
To go and record
anyone? No, no point.
I'm asking that question because you've actually been sent to do that before and you forgot to press play.
But what would happen is I'd go down, say I'd rush down to the sides to get Jurgen Klopp.
Yep.
And I'd probably find my way on the pitch and then I'd probably find my way into a divvy van. So, look, Carlos, I want to immerse myself without distraction.
Hey, a couple of big games this weekend. The A-League, of course, continues. Western Sydney Wanderers.
Big game.
Play host to Melbourne City.
City might win, but Wanderers are improving.
It's going to be a big, big game. And, of course, Melbourne Victory go to Brisbane and take on Brisbane Roar.
An angry Brisbane Roar.
Angry.
A couple of sides that have got a few players out.
Yep.
Hey, that's it for this week's show. Thanks for your company. So remember, Carlos.
Wherever Puerto Rican girls hang out,
we'll be there. Wherever Samba, Rumba and La Bamba, we'll be there.
Wherever there are girls with fruit on their head and balls at their feet,
we'll be there.
Wherever gringos play football,
we'll be there.
We are the Four Diegos.
Olé!